You're listening to the So You Think You're Intuitive podcast, a podcast to help you reactivate, grow, and trust your intuition so you can live a more empowered and connected life. Join me, Natalie Miles, spiritual mentor and psychic medium, every Wednesday for inspired conversations, guidance, and practical tips on how you can work with your intuition in your everyday life. Because who doesn't want to trust their intuition more? Welcome back to So You Think You're Intuitive. I'm Natalie Miles, taking you on this journey to reactivate and trust your intuition so you can stand in your truth and power. Hello, how are you doing? Oh yeah, energy. It is a time right now. I know a lot of people have been feeling tired post new moon, which was on Saturday, and in the build up to it. I know people have been having wild dreams. I always have really deep, dark, more darker dreams, darker, kind of deep into my subconscious dreams as I approach the new moon. Kind of it really brings up fears and things that I'm facing, things that I'm not looking at, the darker sides of my psyche and my shadow. So that was coming up for me as I moved into the new moon energy. But I know Mars, bit of astrology, I know Mars has gone direct. And so this energy is, it's shifting. It does feel like things are moving. It feels like, a lot of things that we've been feeling stuck or stagnant on, there is this movement beginning to happen. It's not like a raging fire or like it's like rah, yeah, let's go, like things are building, but you can definitely feel it. And hey, I am all down for that. But being in this stronghold energy, the energy theme for November, I know I talked about this in last week's episode as well, but yeah, really cultivating being in that stronghold energy and being in your own energy is so important. If you're new to this podcast, there are lots of episodes talking about energetic self-sovereignty, which is my phrase for this. So yeah, go and have a listen of what that means to you. But yeah, this feels like a really big transformational week, things beginning to shift, things beginning to evolve. More things to be revealed. So yeah, have an amazing week with that. I'm already getting downloads of, what 2021 is going to be in store and what the energy theme for the overview of 2021 is going to be, which I'm looking forward to sharing with you. And I'm also about to download and channel through a brand new workshop. Watch this space. This is something that I have been talking about and for about a year, and I have now got the go sign to make it happen. So I'm channeling this through over the next couple of weeks. So there is going to be a brand new workshop coming to you very soon. If you are looking for some additional support during this challenging time in the collective, BetterHelp will assess your needs and match you with your own licensed professional therapist. You can start communicating in under 48 hours. It's not a crisis line. It's not self-help. It is professional counseling done securely online. There is a broad range of expertise available, which may not be locally available in many areas. The service is available for clients worldwide, and you can log into your account anytime and send a message to your counselor. You'll get timely and thoughtful responses, plus you can schedule weekly video or phone sessions, so you won't ever have to sit in an uncomfortable waiting room as with traditional therapy. BetterHelp is committed to facilitating great therapeutic matches, so they make it easy and free to change counselors if needed. It's more affordable than traditional offline counseling, and financial aid is available. BetterHelp wants you to start living a happier life today. And a couple of recent testimonials. Ashley has been a great outlet for me. I have had some challenging times during the pandemic and hoping to get back on a more regular schedule with her, but so far she has been outstanding. And another one. If you want someone who will tell you how it is and doesn't hold punches, Rima is the therapist for you. She listens to you and gives you advice on anything that you may have questions. She doesn't sugarcoat anything. I want a therapist that will tell me how it is and wants me to be successful. I appreciate Rima for everything she does. Visit betterhelp.com/Natalie. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P, and join the over 1 million people who have taken charge of their mental health with the help of an experienced professional. In fact, so many people have been using BetterHelp that they are recruiting additional counselors in all 50 states across the US. And there's also a special offer for So You Think You're Intuitive listeners. Get 10% off your first month at betterhelp.com/Natalie. Thank you for sending all your intuitive hits through after I requested some more last week. This is an intuitive hit from Kate in Australia. I love this because I actually remember what she is about to share. So enjoy listening to Kate's intuitive hit.
Hi, Natalie. My name is Kate and I'm from Australia. I have an intuitive hit story for you, which is actually about you. So it was about over a year ago now, and I was home alone cleaning, which is the best time to receive messages, I think. And I had just started my spiritual reactivation, and I was in a bit of a lull in terms of my career, and I was in need of a little bit of guidance about my career path and what I should do next. I was a stay-at-home mom for a couple of years, so I kind of felt the need to get back into the workforce, but I wasn't quite sure about what path I should be taking. So I happened to be listening to your podcast at the time, and I told Spirit that by the end of the episode, I would have an answer as to what I would be doing next. So I was listening to you, and nothing was coming through, but then all of a sudden, I had this overwhelming sense that I heard that a book needed to be written, and it was to serve the next generation of psychics, and it was all going to be about developing intuition and to help the next generation of psychics develop their intuition. I didn't really know what to do with that message because I didn't really feel that fit well with me. So I kind of just laughed it off. And then 2 seconds later, I realized that message wasn't actually for me. And I had to tell you because that message was actually for you. So I was really busy. I was putting the house up for sale, and hence why I was cleaning it. So I left it for a couple of days. But Spirit often likes to talk to me at silly times. And it was 2 o'clock in the morning, and I had this overwhelming sense that I needed to reach out to you. And so I did. I contacted you via Instagram, and I put in detail the message that I received and how I received it. But I never expected you to read it or respond, and I just needed to get it out there. So I did. I kind of parked it for a couple of days. I needed that out there. So a couple of days later, I got a ding on my phone, but my phone was on silent, so it was definitely a ding from Spirit telling me to look at my phone. So I did. I'm obviously in Australia, so I have a bit of a time difference. But you had actually responded and told me that my message was sent to you as a confirmation from Spirit, and that the time that I had actually sent it was when you were sending the pitch to your publishers to write the book. So that was pretty amazing. It made me also realize that Spirit was trying to show me what I should be doing, and that's to be delivering psychic messages. And what an honor it was to be able to deliver my very first psychic kick message to you. So yeah, that's my intuitive hit story. And yeah, congratulations on the book. I'm so excited for you. This is just amazing. Thanks, Natalie.
Oh, thank you, Kate. I remember you giving me this message. It was a real confirmation for me. I was, it was when I was still going through the journeying process of writing the book and wanting to not self-publish it, but go with the publisher. And it was around a time where I was kind of re-picking back up the book proposal. And for me to receive the message from you around writing the book was an additional confirmation for me to continue the path, although the path didn't lead me to publishing the book through a publisher and doing it myself. This was a really important confirmation for me. So I remember you sending it to me and being like, okay, Spirit, I get the message now that listeners are messaging me and telling me that this needs to happen. So thank you so much for sharing your intuitive hit with me. If you would like to share an intuitive hit, please send a short voice memo with your name and where you're from with your intuitive hit. I would love to hear from you. And if you haven't got the book yet, go and get a copy of my brand new debut book, You Are Intuitive, Trust Your Truth, Take Back Your Power. You can get it wherever you buy your books. And it is a great holiday gift as well. So if you're thinking, oh, what do I give people this year? This book is a great thing to add to the gift pile. One other really quick announcement. If you are listening to this episode the day it comes out, Wednesday 18th, tonight is the Energy Collective event, and we are going to be doing some past life discovery and healing. If you would like to discover a past life and do some past life healing with me, come join us this evening. It is $25 to join a one-off event. Or if you join the community at the Exploring My Intuition level, you will get access to this event for $20. Plus, you will get access to other events as well, including the book club and some of my other workshops. So yeah, if you want to join us, that is happening this evening. So our episode today is a bring back and our first episode of the Everyday Intuition. I put a shout out probably about a month ago for you guys to reach out to share with me how you are using your intuition in your everyday life. And today I am speaking with Emily, and she is going to share with us how she got a massive intuitive download, which has shaped the course and changed her direction this year. During COVID, looking at her job and what that's meant. And it is a really amazing story. And when I read what she'd written to apply to come onto the podcast, I was like, we need to get Emily on. This is a really amazing story. So I am really excited to share this with you. I just want to jump in and share this conversation straight away. It speaks for itself. Enjoy this conversation with Emily about how to let your intuitive download guide your way to greatness. Hi, Emily. Thank you for coming on and to this new Everyday Intuition. I'm so pleased that you wrote in and submitted your story.
It's such an honor. Thank you so much, Natalie.
No.
It's just so nice to be in your aura.
Oh, thank you, sweetie. When I was reading through them, we had some really amazing ones get submitted, and there's going to be some more in the future coming up. But when I read yours, I was like, oh, this is like really potent, especially with what we're facing in the world right now with the pandemic. And because I don't know about you, but I know that there's a lot of, you know, fear or worry that we can't create new things within this pandemic, that we can't, you know, have transformation, that we can't be on a journey and create new things. And your story just really shows that, you know, during this 2020 pandemic and everything else that's happening in the collective energy, that change is possible. Do you want to like just, yeah, tell us your story. Tell us the journey that you have been on.
Yeah, it's been a wild ride. Let's just say this past year has been, I mean, just to give you a bit of, I'm going through, it's so weird because the bigger transformation, I mean, it's been a long time coming to this point right now. But I just started my Saturn return in January and everything kind of went, like the whole ride just started in January. So it's no coincidence, I guess. But on top of that, there's a global pandemic. So yeah, I love that you mentioned the creation and the creativity. I've found that what everything that's been going on, the pressure that's been building, there was just so much pressure. And the only thing that kind of got me going and got me out of a rut that I was very much in January, February, was to let it out creatively. And it's come to a very cool project that I never expected would happen. So let's go back to January. So in the past 10 years, I've been working in communications. The past 2 years, I've spent working in politics, in, you know, pretty high profile positions.
Oh, cool.
In Canada. And it's all been okay. It's all been fine, but in a way I have felt for the past 10 years since the start of my career that I was living someone else's life. And it really came to a turn in January when my grandma passed away. And my grandma was a seamstress, and I have been, my ultimate passion has been for style and fashion and expressing myself creatively through clothing. And that's been the constant in my life. And I always dreamed of being a fashion designer, and I've always dreamed of being in the fashion space, but I've always put some sort of load on it that it was a superficial thing just to give myself some excuses to not do it, I guess. But it's kind of been in my family. And over the past 3 or 4 years, I've been connecting with my ancestors, with like my grandparents that have passed away, especially my grandfather. And then in January with my grandma passing away, there were some clear signs that things needed to change. And the constant in that was sewing and fashion. My grandma was a seamstress, and it's been kind of a legacy in my family, and no one really took it. And on our way back, so the whole story started when it was on the way back from her funeral. I had an insane download. I couldn't read anymore. I was reading a book that I loved, but I couldn't read anymore because I just had information flowing through. So I took out my notepad and just started writing and drawing. And I had a full collection drawn. And wow. a name for my company and the whole concept of what it would be like, just done within the 3 hours from Sherbrooke to Ottawa.
Wow.
And yeah, it just kind of like, I can't even explain it anymore. And it was really on the way back from the funeral. And I kind of sat on it for a while. I talked to some of my friends that, you know, I share a lot of this, my intuition and my connection with the spiritual realm. I talked to them about it, and they're like, okay, you have to do something about it. But then I had a job, and I was director of communications for a minister. And it was just like, I just had a bunch of excuses. And then after a few months, the pandemic hit. And then in April, I was like, okay, I have too much stuff going through me. I need to release it. And this was, I released it through a blog where every day I would do something creative, whether it was like making a shirt or, you know, painting a crate to make a wall hanging, you know, some really silly things that just let out my creativity. And people were really enjoying it because I was adding a certain kind of niceness to some dreary times. April was really hard for everyone, I'm guessing. Yeah. And then from there, it just started kind of Maximalist, which is the name of my company, was born. And then I decided to leave my job in June. And now it's been full-time Maximalist. And it's going really well. We're making masks. We're making clothing, and we're selling some vintage just to bring some life, some styles, some personal expression to our lives when we need it most. And it's just been such a liberation to live my life that I know I'm supposed to be living, and to make the impact that I know I'm supposed to have on this planet. And this is all because of just everyday intuition and everyday connecting with my guides and connecting with my grandparents, mostly just to know what the next step is.
Wow.
In order to make the impact I want to have on this planet.
That's such a cool story. Like, yeah, I mean, I want to ask you so many questions off the back of that. Like, congratulations on like taking that leap of faith, and more importantly, like taking action on the intuitive message. Like, when your friends were telling you, you know, oh, you should do something about it, you should take action on it, how did that feel? Like, you know, what fears were coming up for you from taking the action? Like, what were the main thought processes that you were telling yourself of, like, why you shouldn't listen to the intuitive download that you'd had in the car? Like, what was coming up for you?
I think the number one thing was fear of being seen. And it still is something that, because this feels so personal in a way, and it's putting myself in a vulnerable place where I know this is real. I know this is what I'm supposed to do. I need to be ready to be seen in the way that I want to be seen, because everything that I've done for the past, you know, since I was a kid, I've never really done anything wrong, you know, and I was always like, okay, this is a good idea. Oh, you have a job. That's great. You know, you work for the government. Oh, you have this. I always had like reassurance and just security, but this was taking a leap of faith that was very personal and insecure. So it was that fear of being seen, and that fear of judgment from others. And I'm still working through that, but it's just now that I'm living the way that I am living right now, I just want, and I'm sure you can relate to this, Natalie, I just want people to like feel the way I'm feeling. I just want everyone to feel this because it's the most, you know, it's the most technically financially uncertain time of my life, but I've never felt more abundant. So it's a weird thing where you just convince yourself of what you're just kind of scared of your own success at some point. And I think that's what was coming up with my conversation with my friends. And then you come to a realization, like, I don't know if I can say bad words on this.
Yeah, swear away. Like,
I got sick of my own bullshit and I was like, okay, get over yourself and just do it.
Oh, yeah. No, it is. It is when we come sick of our own bullshit and sick of the stories that we keep telling ourselves. And as you were talking, I was just like, and it's fascinating because I find a lot of people who are, you know, especially like you working in communication. And I used to work in film and like production. There is an element of people that really want to be seen and heard for themselves, but don't do it. So they get to work behind the scenes a lot of the time as well. So it's fascinating. As you say, it's like, oh, I've been working with like big high level communication, not being seen. And now this is like pushing me out of my comfort zone where it's like, oh no, this is about me being seen and me being heard.
Yeah. And that's like the whole like relationship with your voice and how you portray yourself and your expression. And a lot of, you know, a lot of those limiting beliefs came with the fact, like, I don't want people to think that I'm full of myself or that I'm this or that I'm that, but I never think that of other people. So why would that apply to me? You know? So that's the kind of bullshit I was telling myself. It was easier to be paid on payroll, just to do what you had to do and to make someone else look good. But when you do it for yourself, it, there's like, you kind of put some barriers in your way to make that happen. But like, if that other person looks good, that means that you can too.
Yeah.
You know, no one's special really in both ways. You know, that's kind of something that I've been toying with.
Yeah, no, completely. I so feel that that mirroring is like, oh, you know, if I keep everything on board for you and I keep communicating everything for you and everything's like smooth sailing, then as you say, it's like, then that reflects back on me and it reflects back on like, well, I'm a good girl and this is comfortable versus it being like, oh my God, it's time to push myself really out of my comfort zone.
Yeah. Yeah, it's really it's a big leap. It can be scary, but the rewards, it's high risk, high reward. That's how I'm seeing it right now. And really there's, you know, the safe way is you know, being safe sometimes is just really is being boring too. Right. I'm a bit of a rebel at heart and I just always wanted to not, you know, follow authority and stuff like that. But it comes with its difficulties, but they're, for me, it's high risk, high reward.
Yeah. And you mentioned, I want to talk about your grandmother, but before we do that, you mentioned that the signs and the boulders back in January were really loud that you had to make a change. And I feel that, you know, when it's, you know, when we're going through our spiritual reactivation, especially when you've just started going through your Saturn return as well, like what were the signs for you back in January that got really loud where it was like, oh no, I have to listen. I have to trust. I have to make this change.
I don't think it was in January that it hit me as much. I got the download from my grandma in January. I had just come back from visiting my sister in New Zealand, and it was right after the Canadian elections, and I was exhausted from the elections and just trying to find another job and doing just like hustling, and I was doing it from New Zealand, and then I was, you know, and I was in summer vacations basically because it was summer then, and then I came back and it was just like so difficult and heavy coming back to winter and coming back to politics and coming back to this world that I was just like I just didn't belong to anymore. And then there was the download that happened, and then it just kind of went downhill from there. But I also trusted that I needed to continue. And then the real loudness came in April when I was like, I didn't even tell anyone that I was going to do one creative project a day for the next month. It just really just happened there. And that's where it kind of unfolded and maximalist like actions were taken. I just got a real like ping, a download. And it was just like, it was a thing. Like there was no questioning about it. And then because I wasn't questioning myself, this is like a huge realization I had, especially with my family. It's like, I've always had all these ideas of going out on my own and doing my own thing and not working for someone. That's always something that I wanted and desired. And then I started doing instead of just talking. And then I, you know, it was going really terribly at work and it was really hard on my mental health. And I started talking to someone. I'm a self-projected projector in human design, so I need to talk a lot.
Yeah.
As you can probably tell already. But I started getting help. And then it just really came to the fact that I said, I'm doing this. And my parents just like got behind me. My whole community got behind me and they're like, yeah, we're doing this. Okay. We're doing this. Now my mom works for me. She volunteers
for me. Don't tell her that.
And my aunt is in. So she, you know, both of my grandma's kids, like two of my grandma's daughters are helping me out with the sewing, and we're like reconnecting in another way. And it's just been really amazing. And they never questioned, you know, there was just no question because I stopped questioning. As of April, I stopped questioning that this is something that needs to happen. It's bigger than me.
Yeah. And it's so, when we get those moments where it's like, oh, this is bigger than me, and I just have to keep following my intuition. I have to keep following, following that voice versus like questioning the logic. And the logic voice, the fear voice, the ego voice that's like, why are you doing this? This doesn't make any sense. And you're like, no, I just have to keep going. I feel you, that energy of like, this is bigger than me. And and just it's also really cool that off the back of this, do you feel like there's some big ancestral healing going down by the fact that your mom and your aunt and, you know, are coming together to work on this project with you?
Yeah, I really do feel like I feel like it's a legacy that we're just putting, you know, we're keeping the legacy alive. Something that it kind of, you know, sewing, I'm the only cousin that sews, and my grandparents had 7 children. So I have a lot of cousins, and no one really picked that up. And it's funny that you asked that, because I remember, at my grandma's funeral, one of my cousins that I don't see a lot, but I, you know, we all live in Ottawa. And we all made a video to talk about my grandma, and in her video, she said, you know, I hope someone in the family keeps the sewing alive. And that was what really, and then I saw my cousin was there, and she looked at me, she's like, that's you. And then I was like, oh, okay. And then after the funeral, that's where the download came. So it just kind of,
wow,
it is bigger than me. It is it's my lineage that kind of I'm connecting with. And it's funny because my grandma on my mom's side, I don't connect with her like directly like I do with my grandpa on my dad's side. But I do think that my grandma is the matriarch of Maximalist. You know, like, it's not me, like she's not channeling through me, but she is through Maximalist as its own identity, its own kind of life, you know? And that life includes my whole family. So it's really special. It's really special to look at it that way. And it's, you know, one of the values that we have that I kind of really want to keep having with the company is the sense of belonging. And I really, in my grandma, I really emitted that sense. And it's something that we moved around a lot growing up. Like we weren't close to we lived abroad and then we lived all over the place because my dad was in the RCMP. But belonging, it was such a difficult word for me to grapple and to like understand really. But now I get it.
Yeah, when we find the things that gives us that sense of belonging that isn't necessarily like a home or a place. And then we realize like, oh shit, it's in us. Like that's, yeah, it's truly transformative. How does your, grandmother, how does she like to show up? Is there any, like, I know that I love the fact that you know, that message came through at the funeral of being like, you know, and your cousin being like, that's you, you're the person. And then the download, you know, the download and everything happening really quickly in the car on the way home. But how else does your grandmother like to show up? Does she show up in other ways? Other signs?
I ask for signs, but usually I think my grandma shows up for my mom more than she shows up for me. She shows up for Maximalist and my mom. But for me, it's really with my grandpa that these crazy stories that happen. And it's more on a personal level. And my grandpa, I ask for a sign and he just sends it over. And I talk, like, it's really like I hear them, like I have conversations with them.
Cool.
It's very strange because it's not necessarily a knowing. It's like when I tune in, I can have a direct conversation. So they don't necessarily show up in my, you know, in my everyday life, but I know I can have access to them very easily.
Yeah, I love that. And you're right. When you know that they're there and you can have a conversation with them and you receive or you hear the response to the question that you're asking and have that, like, you know, witty dialogue.
It's them. Like we speak French together. That's them when we speak French.
Okay, cool. I was about to say, because your grandfather's just really witty. There's a wicked sense of humor about him.
Yeah. My grandfather? Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. He's got a very dry sense of humor. Hilarious. Yeah, and it's just so awesome that you can have that like deep connection together. And as you say, it's like you're working with your ancestors and your lineage to be able to, you know, listen, drop further into your intuition and create, and have created a business off the back of it at this time. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah, that's deeply powerful.
Yeah, it's really cool. And I'm just, you know, I just want everyone, that's what it comes down to. It's just like using that everyday connection that you can have with yourself and like your ultimate, like knowing. I don't personally have a gut feeling, but I have that connection with spirit, like with my ancestors or with spirit in general. Like I use that. And it shows up so differently for everyone. I was talking to my friends yesterday getting ready for this, and I was just like, they feel, you know, their messages just as strongly as I do, but in a very different way. And understanding that is so powerful, and just believing that it's true and not questioning it is another like practice on its own. But oh man, when you do it, does it transform you?
Hell yes. Hell yes, it really does. And it's such an important thing you just shared around, again, it's that like non-comparison. And right. And especially when you get together with a group of friends, it's like, oh, I get this way. And it's like, oh, really? Wow, that's fascinating. And I always love when I chat to my friends and how they receive their messages and signs, because it makes it feel even more like wondrous, like this energy, this thing, this intuition, universe, spirit, whatever label, it just makes it even feel more magical.
It really does. But so real at the same time. Like, I think that's the other part of it. Like, there's, you know, I was talking to my cousin who is also a huge help, and she's on my dad's side. So that, you know, like, and we talk about my grandpa a lot, and she's like, I wish I had that, but I'm just like, allow yourself to have it. Like, just don't question it. It's just the allowing. It's like when my friend Jess once told me, she was like, you know, it's just as easy as, instead of going over a fence, sometimes you can just open the door. It can be that easy, but you just have to allow it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And again, it's that like perceived hurdles that we create for ourselves, and the stories and the, yeah, needing to feel like we have to climb the highest, you know, peak, or as you say, jump over the fence, versus being like, oh yeah, there's a gate down there, like you could just go and open it.
It just doesn't have to be difficult either. That's something that I've realized, like I've pushed through in all these jobs that I've had, like I've pushed through and pushed and wanted to be recognized and wanted to be all of these things for other people and just like be successful I'm losing my words, but to be perceived as successful, but really like, who cares? Like it can be as easy. Like I can, you don't need, like right now I've never worked so hard, but it's not taking any effort.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. As you say, it's like, I can work really hard and I can put the hours in, but if the energy feels aligned and connected to what I'm doing, it doesn't feel like work, but it also feels like it's, again, it's that like this energy is bigger than me and I'm just being on my mission and being creative. And how does, just as one kind of like final kind of question, I just wanted to ask for you around like your creativity and your intuition, how does the creative visions and stuff come through for, you know, what you're designing, what you're creating? How's that process been for you in the kind of creative sphere?
It's interesting that you asked that, because I was just thinking, I was just sewing a dress and I was like, I don't understand how I know this, like how I know how to construct it. But I have an idea in my mind and then I work it in my mind. It really is just a mind game. And it comes very intuitively to me how a garment is constructed and how I need to adjust it, and like color combinations just come very intuitively. Like I just don't question it. I just know it. I see something and I know it. Or I imagine a design and I know how to make it. And it's not really like, I've never really learned how to sew. I I kind of picked it up somewhere and then I just understood it, you know, like I've never understood math, but I've learned math like all these years throughout my life, but I've never really understood it. But like clothing, I just get it. And it's, that is a very intuitive process that I love having because I just, you know, work it out in my mind and it's like just my creative juices flow. And then I see a piece of clothing and like, oh, I could just transform it and make it like that. Or I can use, you know, this color because it emanates some sort of, you know, transmission of some sort. Or, you know, like the right now, what we're doing is just like doing a very stark two-tone mask that is very recognizable, has a real impact. People love it. And it just like makes it, you're not like, you're allowed to be seen with it. You know, it just feels, you know, wearing a mask sucks. So how can we make it a little bit more pleasurable? And how can we make you feel good in it is where I'm kind of, that's where it started. And then it just kind of came to very, very like potent, stark, clean design that will make you have the impact that we need you to make in the world. That's the ultimate goal for me. Is like, I want everyone to make the impact that they want it or that they need to make in the world, because we need everyone's different skills and magic in the world. I just want to help you look good, feel good, and heal good.
Yeah. And clothes and fashion and color is so part of that. I'm a big believer in that. I think,
yeah,
it does.
And that was a big limiting belief I had before starting this, like loving fashion and loving clothes. And, you know, there's this whole movement of minimalism and I've never been a minimalist, which is why maximalist came along. But I also don't believe in fast fashion and in destroying our planet for clothing, which is why I took out the vowels and made it minimal imprint. So it's maximalist without any vowels in it because it's maximal impact, but minimal imprint.
Mm.
And that's really the whole, like, it doesn't have to be superficial. Actually, fashion is one of the least superficial thing because it's the communication that you use so that everyone sees. You don't have to open your mouth and someone can have an opinion of you by the way that you dress. So how can we how can we make that your form of communication that really makes you shine and helps you make that impact that we need you to make in the world? Because I'm not going to go and you know, create a vaccine for COVID. That's not my thing, but I can help you do that. If you feel good, then you can make it, you know?
Right. Oh, I feel you. And it's so important about fast fashion and how we can do this sustainably and we can still feel good and have good sustainability and ethical practices around it. And that's, it's so key. And I think the fashion industry is, hey, big time waking up to that. I mean, when I was reading news stories last year around the top fashion houses burning all of their, you know, their unwanted goods and just, you know, I was just like, that's insane. Like, oh.
It's so useless.
Yeah, it was. That was a big, a big wake up call to the fashion industry system that's there and how it's. It's got to change. It's got to adapt. It's got to, you know, be relevant and sustainable for the times that we live in now.
Right, and we're seeing that in all aspects, you know, in every industry. And we, you know, maybe maximalist is small right now, but it's going to grow to change that. And it's, you know, and it's just, it's, we can all do our part in some sort of way. But, you know, I think coming back to the intuitive process, like even just being environmentally environmentally conscious and being sustainable and being ethical was never a question. Like it never really came to, I never made the decision that this is that this is what we're going to do. It was just a reality. Like there was just no other way. And that was a very intuitive thing that came very naturally. And I never intended on it. It would just, like, there was just no other way at this point.
Living by your values. It's amazing when we step into our like intuitive power, the rest of the value-based system just seems to show up as well. I find there's a...
I couldn't have said that better.
Yeah.
It's so true.
I think if we really open ourselves up to it, just, and if we're authentic to ourselves and we're willing to call ourselves out on our bullshit as well at the same time.
that's the real key. Like that that's is, the number one thing everyone really needs to know.
It is.
Get over yourself.
It is. It's like, oh yeah, these are the stories I'm telling myself from not connecting to my intuition, for not channeling through, or to not, you know, making the changes that want to come through.
Yeah, and when you do, it's so liberating.
So liberating. Emily, thank you so much for coming on the show and sharing your story. I'm so excited for this next part of your journey and the fact that you're only just at the start of your Saturn return. This is going to be a powerful time and transformation for you over the next little while.
I'm at the end, I think, of my Saturn return, yeah, but it's like been a wild ride during the Saturn return. But yeah. Thank you so much, Natalie. It was such a blessing and so nice chatting with you and connecting with you and just sharing this story. I just hope that everyone can feel the way I'm feeling right now.
I love it. And Saturn, talking about Saturn returns, it's like, even when it ends, it's like the integration phase from the back of it is also, it's like, oh yeah, I'm out of it. And then it's like, oh shit, now I have to integrate all the learnings that I had. So,
okay. I'm excited.
There'll be a little bit of an integration phase off the back as well.
Excellent. I can't wait. Bring it on.
Emily, where can people find you? Where can people find Maximalist? Where can people find you if they want to know more?
Yeah, so you can visit my website at www.maximalist.co, and it's maximalist, maximalist.co, and it's the same on Instagram, maximalist.co.
Amazing. Thank you, Emily. Thank you for chatting.
Thank you, Natalie. It was such a pleasure.
Thank you for listening to this episode with Emily. If you would like to be an Everyday Intuition guest, please head to the show notes where you will find out how to submit all your information. Thanks for listening to today's episode. If you feel called to rate and review on iTunes, that would be amazing. It helps more people find the podcast. And I will be back next week with another episode of So You Think You're Intuitive. Bye.